This is the Web Strategies Podcast, a program dedicated to the technology and techniques of marketing your business on the internet. This program with program notes and links is found on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com. And now, the host of the Web Strategies Podcast, internet marketing expert, Tom Anthony.
Thank you, Joe Cipriano. Hey, it's great to be back doing another podcast on the Web Strategies Podcast. You know, first of all, I got a comment. It's the same microphone. In broadcasting, it was the standard mic for most talk shows or, you know, news. If you were doing production, radio production, it's probably not as good a mic as some of the mics that are available. But it's called an EV or Electro Voice, which is the name of the company that makes the microphone, RE20. It's just, if you saw a picture of it, and I'll put a picture of this microphone on the companion website, webstrategiespodcast.com, you'd recognize it. I've got one of these, it's like a broadcast booth, shock mount with an arm that comes out. What you probably wouldn't see in your home, but if you're an old radio guy like me, then this is the kind of stuff that you have hooked up to your computer. But that's not what I'm excited about. I've had that microphone for many years, actually since I got out of the broadcasting business, a decade ago. But the new headphones that I have, I actually bought for playing my music because they're, I think, really good headphones. And they make several different kinds that are at this level of quality, but it's certainly not the kind of headphones that you're going to go down to Walmart or Target and find. They just, they don't sell. They're made by a company named Sennheiser out of Germany, and they're called HD600s. And it's an open ear. In other words, if there's a loud noise in the room, I can hear that. Or if you're talking to me, I can hear that. So it's not completely closed ear, but real high quality. So it makes me feel like I'm back in a radio studio again. And when I am really in my web production studio, a different kind of hardware setup. And it's a little noisier. I have to run this program through a noise-canceling function in a program that is called Adobe Audition, which is the program that I use to edit this podcast. Getting back to the program, thank you for listening. I was looking at the stats the other day, and it's still unbelievable to me. There's tens of thousands of people that, since the beginning of the podcast, have downloaded the various episodes. And honestly, I had a few episodes where I was doing one a week or every 2 weeks when the program first started, and they became more and more rare. So I'm really kind of stepping up the schedule quite a bit now. This program is one of several that I have scheduled over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to keep up that pace. And the name of this podcast, this particular show, is called Location, Location, Location. And in real estate, that has one meaning, and in business, really, it's another kind of meaning, and at least in this century. Because the location that we're talking about in business is the location of the internet. And some businesses can exist solely on the internet. Others have a brick and mortar operation that is supported by the internet. But by this day and time, certainly there's no business that can think about becoming really successful without a concentrated internet presence and some internet strategy. And so that's what this program's all about, the Web Strategies Podcast. For me, it has still another meaning, as in what? Did you fall off the face of the earth? Where are you? My business, which is called my regular business that pays the bills, is called IMS Strategic Internet Marketing. We've been really busy over the past year, and I was part of what's called a virtual agency. So in other words, I was working with other people that were doing various aspects of a project, and I was filling in on one that was my specialty. For example, I just completed a 17-minute film for LifeNet Health, and it involved a doctor standing in front of a green screen explaining in detail the technical aspects of an allograft, which is, LifeNet Health is the company that does implants. So this product is tissue that they would use in an operation, and it comes from humans. It's not a thing like a pig valve or something like that. They, when you are a tissue donor on your driver's license and you or you pass away and you're a tissue donor, that's where the tissue goes, to a company like LifeNet Health. And they do really life-saving things with that tissue. So this particular product is it's called an allograft patch, and it's really too technical to get into on a business program like this one. But it was interesting. You know, I mean, we set up in one of the conference rooms there at LifeNet Health headquarters in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I set up a green screen. We had a doctor that was part of the team that was in charge of that product for LifeNet Health, because they have several lines of different kinds of implants. And this particular lady was standing in front of a green screen and explaining. She was watching a PowerPoint presentation that she had put together to give herself the talking points. And I gave her a wireless controller so that she could forward the PowerPoint presentation on their screen, which was this huge, I don't know, it had to be a 7-foot-wide, large, nice commercial, enterprise-level conference room viewing screen. And so she had the PowerPoint presentation up there, and she was going through it and speaking to the points that were in the PowerPoint presentation. And then I was filming her against the green screen. So they gave me the PowerPoint presentation, and I took the film, and I matched them up, and then I animated the slides. In other words, I didn't use the slides from the PowerPoint presentation. I recreated them using video titles and animations of photographs and things like that. So it came out really well. It's not probably it's too technical of a thing to want to see. I may, if LifeNet Health doesn't have any objections, I may put the film up on my website so that you can take a look at it and or just see the kind of quality that I'm talking about. Because it was kind of interesting. The doctor that was doing the presentation looked like she was standing right in the middle of the PowerPoint presentation, like kind of like the weather guy, where he's standing. It's the map is so close to him, it looks like he's standing on the map, that kind of thing. So anyway, that's what I've been working on lately. I also have brought into the business Amy Whitley, who is helping me with project management in the IMS business, and also billing. It takes a lot of pressure off my schedule, so it is going to allow me to get to more of these podcasts, which I'm really grateful for. I really love working with Amy. She's working her way through school, and she does a great job helping me make sure that all of the clients are happy. She does project management. In other words, she gets the materials together, the collaterals or reports on progress, that kind of thing, and also helps me do the billing for the company, which is, frankly, something that I suck at. So glad to be able to hire Amy and have some office help and be able to get the billing out and then be able to free up enough time to do these podcasts.
Yes, you are lucky to have me, and I'm not sure how you manage without me.
Oh, really? Thanks a lot.
But no, in all seriousness, I am very glad to be working in the business. I'm really enjoying interacting with the IMS clients, and I've learned a lot over the past few weeks, and I'm looking forward to continue helping to build the business and also to learn more, too.
Well, Amy, you're really doing a great job, and I'm very happy we're working together, and thank you for such a good job.
You're welcome.
Some of the projects that I've been working on also include a really cool website that you probably will never see, because it's meant for a sales tool inside of an organization. And what happens is it's a real estate company, and what happens is a customer comes in and they have a screen, and so a monitor, a big like television set on the wall. And so what they do is they point and click on things on a map, and other things pop up that they want to describe, like pictures of some of the amenities in the real estate project, that kind of thing. And it's more of a manual sales tool than it is a website thing, although it's done with website type technology. And so even though I really like doing that stuff, I'm better suited to do the thing that I specialize in, which is internet marketing. And so I'm now getting away from the businesses, taking a turn back again, away from doing the mechanical type work, and more into doing marketing consulting and helping companies run their social networks. I tell you, on my personal blog, up until last week, I hadn't made a single entry in the blog for 6 months, which is, and the name of the latest entry is "The Cobbler's Children Have No Shoes," because that's really what it is. I mean, I run Facebook for other companies, and I haven't put anything in my Facebook until, you know, just really recently. I do practice what I preach, but I haven't had time lately. So, you know, you haven't seen me update my Plaxo or LinkedIn, and never mind Twitter. You know, I haven't made my first tweet in a long time, but now that I have some office help, I think that I'll be able to get back to that a little bit more easily. But anyway, there are a few projects I've been working on that you will see, and one is called recruit757.com. It's brainchild of a former radio colleague of mine named Andy Hilton, who I spoke with very recently, as in today, over sushi in downtown Norfolk, Virginia. And so here's there's a little bit of noise in the background because we were actually in a restaurant. But here's a bit of that conversation about his recruit757.com website.
Now that we've had a chance to eat our sushi, and boy, that was good.
Yes, it was.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your business because it's a really innovative way that you're going about a personal passion of yours. I mean, you were in the broadcasting industry for a local television station out of Norfolk, Virginia, but your passion is high school football. Why don't you talk a little bit about what Recruit 757 is and why you wanted to put something like that together?
Well, Recruit 757 started out as a hobby that I was passionate about and had developed a desire to bring colleges in to see high school football players, because we have a lot of talent that comes out of this area, and you can go back to Bruce Smith, you can go back to Michael Vick, you can go back decades or even just in recent years, and how many NFL players have come out of this area. And football is a passion of mine. There is a great need for kids to get a break and to get a college degree, because to me education is important as well. So it combines a lot of different interests, but realistically it is a benevolent effort to do good for the local kids here and also follow my passion, which is football, and I love college football. So it's interesting to see kids grow up from being, say, 14-year-old freshmen to being 18-year-old seniors and be courted by colleges, yet Virginia Tech and Virginia are the primary colleges that come in here and recruit in terms of big schools. And occasionally you'll see a Penn State, like Evan Hales from Oscar Smith went to Penn State this past year. Phillip Sims from Oscar Smith went to Alabama. Percy Harvin, just a couple of years ago from Lansdowne High School, went to University of Florida and went on to the NFL. But realistically, the big schools, when they come in, they're only interested in the cream at the top and don't recruit any deeper than that when they come into this area. So if there's not a what's called a blue chip player or a five-star player that they want, they may not come in a given year.
But is that because, and I'm not a sports guy, so I'm saying this truly out of ignorance, is that because it's too much work to find these people, that the potential diamonds in the rough that may be playing at Oscar Smith, or would they know?
Well, they would. Their assumption, they ought to operate typically on the assumption that they're a big-time college and they want only the best of the best. So they don't come in here and recruit because they care about the kids of this area, or they don't come in here and recruit because they really want to develop deep relationships in this area. I'm not saying they don't have relationships, but their interests are self-serving, which is to be expected. But smaller schools don't get the consideration that the bigger schools get because they're not glamorous.
Right.
But you've got schools like Old Dominion. Their recruiting class this past year was very heavily built off of 757 area players. William & Mary, of course, is nearby. Richmond is nearby. JMU is nearby. James Madison. That's an example of smaller schools recruiting well in this area. But in my opinion, over the last number of years, those smaller schools get better athletes than they normally would, because the bigger schools come in and take the cream off the top.
Right.
The big schools like Virginia and Virginia Tech get the players they're going to get. And the mid-level big-name colleges
like
don't... Well, no, that's not even a big-name college. JMU is... And that's no slight to JMU, but that is a level down. That's Division I AA or Division I FCS.
Right.
They're playing at a lower level than Virginia, Virginia Tech. There's a whole blend of opportunity, whole blend of interest level, and from a fan perspective, whole blend of the level of playing, the skill that it takes to play at that level, or rather the competition level at those schools, at a JMU or an Old Dominion, is different than a BCS level school that's playing national level competition. With all that, keeping all that in mind, the important thing for the local athlete is that such a small, less than 1% of those playing high school football are going to make it to the NFL. If these kids don't get a college education, they're not going to go nearly as far in life as they do if they get a college education. So there's a dual-edged sword here in that I'm not looking to slight the BCS schools that come in here and recruit, but I'm trying to get the colleges that are not BCS level but still big, like an East Carolina or a Marshall, which those two schools, for instance, come in. University of Memphis comes in, Middle Tennessee State, Temple. There's what's called non-BCS schools, the non-big-time schools. There's still big universities that could come in and offer scholarships but don't, because they're just not quite as familiar with the players that are in here. Now, some of the schools I mentioned do recruit in here, but those type of schools can come in, and if those schools start coming in, more players get more scholarships. When more players get more scholarships, more kids get a college education.
Right.
And that's what's going to do them well. That's going to do well for them in their life. Now, that's one element of it. The other element of it is informing the kids that college doesn't begin and end with Virginia Tech.
Right.
And you don't have to go to USC or Tennessee or Florida or Alabama or what have you to get a good education, because if a college is coming after you and offering a scholarship to play football, that is a dream for every kid, and it doesn't have to be a big-time school in order for you to get a good education. There are schools like Presbyterian or Lenoir Rhyne, or Hampden Sydney, teams that are colleges where some people might even say, I've never heard of that school, but they play college football, and the education is just as good at that small school as it is at the big school, if not better, because it's a smaller environment, smaller community, smaller class sizes, and sometimes those schools can offer a better education in a particular field that appeals to the kid. They come out of college having played football, which they love to do. They may have never had a shot at playing in the NFL anyway, so being on national television doesn't matter. And they can come out with, hopefully, a good education and a job offer and a career that's going to serve them for the rest of their lives.
Really, I think that one of the points that we're making that's interesting to me in terms of as a web strategy is it's taking an available medium that hasn't been utilized for this in the past, really, because it's been more like a function of the newspaper sports page to put this kind of information out there. And now put it in a package that is, it's good for you because you like doing it, it's good for the kids that are using it because they have more opportunity just appearing there, and it's good for the schools that are recruiting because they have one hub that they can get to from their desk in Tennessee to take a look at some of the kids that are playing in the 757 area.
Well, here's the interesting thing from a web standpoint. The idea itself is not unique. As they say, no idea is new. They're just reinvented. But there are national websites that do sort of the kind of thing I'm interested in doing, or sort of the kind of thing I am doing. But the difference is those national websites typically will concentrate only on the top 250 or so athletes in the country. So the ones that, it's just like national television or local sports even, when you're looking at colleges, you know of UCLA, you've heard of Texas, you've heard of Tennessee, you've heard of Penn State, Ohio State, what have you. The top colleges in the country are the ones that get the publicity. Similarly, the top high school players are the ones that get the publicity because those are the ones that go on to the USC's and the Alabamas and the Floridas of the world. Yet the kid that signs a scholarship to go to Elon gets no notice at all because nobody watches Elon football anyway, and it's not that big of a deal.
Unless
you live there. So the nice thing is my audience is purely regional. And parents love to see their kids play football. Kids love to see themselves play football. And there is certainly an audience for local high school football, regardless of whether the kid has a future at Virginia Tech or the kid has a future at some small school, anywhere across the country.
So the way that I see this is, and there was a presentation that I went to yesterday that the television station group that you work for actually was the one that put it on. And they were talking about a new term that has to do with the way that the web's being used, and that's hyperlocal.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, and we're old broadcast colleagues, so it kind of all brings it full circle. You're taking the internet, and you're basically making a broadcast station, because you feature a lot of video with the other information you've been talking about, and making it hyper-local, of high interest to a small group, but of very high interest.
Yeah.
So the balance there is, it may not be that you have hundreds of thousands of hits every day, but of the hundreds and hundreds of hits that you have, everybody's really focused. Now, on my companion website, webstrategiespodcast.com, I have a picture that you sent me before we met for lunch of a group of students sitting around, like, looking at your website. I thought it was the coolest thing.
It is. It's really interesting. And it's funny that you mentioned the broadcast television tie-in, because the way media is consumed has changed. And broadcast television is not going anywhere. However, people have more narrow interests, and because of the web, they can access information based on those narrow interests better than ever before. So that's where the web can go to a better level of engagement than a broadcast television or broadcast radio station could. And you can find, you can build a site that's hyper-local, or you can build a site that's hyper-interest, so
right,
to speak, that's
right,
specifically geared toward an interest, and gain a great audience, as long as people know where to go for that information, because there's always a group of people that are going to be interested in something. As long as they can access that information, you can have a successful website.
Well, I appreciate, first of all, thank you for lunch. This was great.
You're welcome.
Because I really love sushi, and this is a really good sushi restaurant in downtown Norfolk. But I also want to throw out a plug for the television group you work for, if that's okay, which is localtvllc.com. They have a really wide group of affiliates, well, not affiliates, they own the stations and manage them.
Yes, but a wide group of affiliations from CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC.
So, and I was really impressed with the presentation that Local TV LLC gave on interactive media that I went to earlier this week. And I actually have asked one of the representatives, Jennifer, who's the vice president of interactive media for Local TV, see if she can be a future guest on this podcast. But anyway, Andy, thank you so much for lunch, and thanks for being on the Web Strategies Podcast.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Andy. Really appreciate not only working with you, but because we... Do you know that Andy and I used to be in a band together? This is crazy. We called it the Maximilians. We worked for a company named Max Media, who owned the radio station that we worked for. And like, the sales manager played the harmonica. Andy was the lead singer. I played guitar. There was a drummer. It was. We had a lot of fun. We weren't very good, but Andy was good. I wasn't very good. Anyway, thanks again for listening to the Web Strategies Podcast. And next out, I'll be chatting with another former colleague of mine, but from a different company. I'll be talking to programmer Brian Walker, who runs Warp 10 Media. That will be a very interesting conversation. We're going to be talking about WordPress. And WordPress is the programming platform that is probably the most popular one for blogs out there. And I have been finding that it's a really attractive solution for what's called content management. Where you don't need your webmaster to put in every little thing. You can have someone who's not as skilled as a webmaster go in and update the website. So we'll be talking about WordPress next week. And again, I appreciate you listening to the Web Strategies Podcast. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for downloading or subscribing and listening to this episode of the Web Strategies Podcast. Send show comments and questions to info@webstrategiespodcast.com. You can subscribe to the Web Strategies Podcast on iTunes or on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com.